Well, praise God. We're going to this morning go back into our teaching. He's going to teach on wisdom again. Hallelujah. I don't know how long we're going to go in this subject, but hallelujah. There's so much that can be said concerning wisdom. And we're sort of living in a world where wisdom is greatly lacking. But we need to understand wisdom, as we talked about in the beginning. Wisdom is not something that comes naturally. It's not something people are born with. You're not born with wisdom. It isn't one of those things. Wisdom's developed. We do, like in cultures, however people are taught is what's good. Their wisdom is going to be. And also whatever you teach yourself. You know, like we start off and we teach children. And but they come to the place where they have to, you know, you got to start learning yourself, and you have to do that too. One of the big things today is reason there's such a lack of wisdom, and even in the church world, is because of the most Christians, sad to say, follow the culture of America. And the culture of America, whether people like it or not, is laziness. It is somebody else does it for you. Somebody else does it, you know. Let the preacher study and let him do it, and I'll listen to what he says, you know. And in between, I just do whatever, you know. And then I just wait till I hear the next sermon. And it doesn't work that way. Wisdom is something developed through hearing, but practice. And if you're not practicing it, you're wasting your time listening to it. Because you're not going to remember to do it. Whatever you practice to do, and that's one of the things that the Lord taught me when I first got born again, and he said, I'm going to use your military training. He didn't say, I'm going to use your military teaching. He said, I'm going to use your military training to teach you how to walk by faith. He said, that's what I'm going to do. And so he began to show me the things that they did in training. One thing is, I learned this. And by listening to Kenneth Hagin, I found out he was following the same principles. Completely repetition, constant repetition. That's what the military did. Everything was repetition all the time. And see, that's not, the American culture don't like that. The American culture, American people don't like repetition. They always want something new. You know, we have to have every year a new roller coaster in the park. Because the old roller coaster that everybody rode before for 40 years and had fun on it, Americans can't have fun on that anymore. Americans can't, you know, they can't. Americans, you know, they buy a car and they love it when they get it, and next year something comes out and they don't love it. You know, the first year they wash that thing, they act like they really like it, and then after that it's old, and then it's like, now it's a drudge to do that. That's America. Americans are, and we got in, it's a culture. It's been trained in us. We've picked it up. It's the fast everything, you know. Everything isn't working fast, and now we have people, you know, go into restaurants and go crazy at the waiters and waitresses. All this trouble we're going through, and people have to put up with that kind of stuff. And the reason they do is the American culture. That's what it is. It's not surprising that things have gone the way that they are. To me, it's not surprising at all. You know, people are saying, well, how did we get to this place? Well, you must have been asleep for a lot of years to have not noticed how we got to this place. I've been preaching for years how we were going to get to this place. And people wonder how it showed up. It's like, people haven't been listening, and we need to understand, you can't follow the American culture. Yet most of the church world is based in American culture here in the United States. It's based in the American culture. And as long as we are, we're going to really face some major difficulties and that kind of stuff in the church. We need to understand and get back over things to the practice. Work is a wonderful thing. It's not a dirty word. To labor hard at something and work at it, you're going to have to do that. There's one thing. If you're going to live the Christian life and you want to really live in its fullness and you want to enjoy the benefit of the Christian life, it's going to cost you. Salvation is free, but when you hear me say it's going to cost you your life, it is. Today, people who haven't listened are suffering greatly. Why? Because it takes work. When bad times come, it has taken a lot of work and practice to keep doing the right thing under pressure. Because many times doing the right thing doesn't seem like it's working at the time. See, it's one thing is I learned, like in the military, they would train and teach us certain strategies and that stuff in combat that you used in combat. So when something happened, what you do. And lots of times, it don't seem like the thing that you really want to do. You know, when you're out in combat, I remember them teaching us and that stuff, if you got ambushed, and the thing you got ambushed, you didn't try to protect yourself, as quickly as it you'd go at the enemy and go at them, was your best chance of staying alive. But that is not naturally the thing you're going to want to do. That naturally you are not going to. You know, when you have about 20 automatic weapons firing right at you, you don't exactly feel like charging. But you better, because I tell you, your chances of staying alive are almost nil if you don't. They're almost nil. You're probably going to die. A good ambush where you get people in it, you have about 100% kill. So either if you want to stay alive, you're going to have to do something that seems crazy to what you want to do. You're going to have the natural instincts to want to protect yourself, but end up killing yourself by doing it. And it's the same way. I found out with faith. Faith would march you in a direction that don't seem like it's the right to do. When the Lord told me back years ago and taught me the wisdom on the bed laying there feeling sick and said to me, if you believe 1 Peter 2:24, why don't you act like it? Well, what is it? I had to act in an opposite direction of the way things would you'd think to go. You know? The doctor would tell you to stay in bed. And that's what most people would just listen to the doctor immediately. That's what they're going to do. Most Christians are going to listen to the doctor. God said, you've got to act like 1 Peter 2:24 is true. So what am I doing? I am acting against something that don't seem, when I got out of bed, I didn't feel no better. I got ready for work. I felt worse. I'm walking around. I wanted to go lay down. But it's a thing. See, and you learn to practice that. Over the years, I've learned to practice that. Now, I don't even think twice about it. I know the doctors say, go lay down. You know what Ed does? He don't go lay down. I was told already by people, I was foolish. I get healed. They don't. They believe in healing and never get healed. Loads of Christians believe in healing and never get healed. And they will never get healed as long as they practice what they do. See, we're talking about wisdom. Wisdom is not necessarily something easy to follow. You know, it's like Mike was talking this morning and up here. When you're out here and you see the guy that's doing evil looks like he's making it, most people will eventually quit doing good and start practicing what the evil guy does because they want what he got. Loads of Christians do that stuff. Loads of Christians follow after things today that they would have never followed in years ago. But people, they see people so-called prospering. Because lots of times you go out here and you do the right thing, it don't seem like it's working. It don't seem like it takes time. So one thing is faith lots of times takes time because it's this dirty word, patience. And that's a filthy word in the church. That's one, we don't want to practice patience. We want to do what the world does, being impatient and get what we want. Let's yell and scream till we get it. Let's yell that the government does something for us. You know, we've yelled so loud the government's done something for us that they've taken over and now we're mad. But we kept yelling at them to do something for us. We voted them in there to do something for us and they did. They took over now. We did this. We wanted the government to rule. Well, enjoy. Oh. Needs to be a little repentance in the church. Always looking for somebody. That's the American way. I'm looking for somebody to do something for me. Somebody take. It's not about me and my faith. I'm just going to trust God. If we could get, you know, somebody ought to take care of that. Somebody ought to do that. Did you see that? Somebody ought to do something about that. I would like to say to people, how about you? And then listen to them stutter for 15 minutes. It's always somebody else. Somebody else. Well, we need to walk in the truth. Wisdom. And see, when you leave wisdom becomes a practice of life. That's what you want. Wisdom to be is a practice of life. This is why you take the word of God and you practice it. It's not practice it when time is good. Practice it when things aren't going good. Continue to practice and give the practice of things. You know, we learn about prosperity. Wanda and I learn about prosperity. And going along, things didn't always go well with us with that. We had a workout. We're giving money away, and boys, things don't seem like they're working. And we're giving money away, and, you know, like Wanda talks about, we went through the years and all that stuff where, man, figuring out how we were going to pay bills, how we were going to do things and how, man, we went through that stuff as Christians. And we're giving money away. We're giving money away and we're struggling trying to figure out how to pay our bills. And now we sit today and don't even think about it. But we went through the struggle of years of walking and in that place. So if something comes along as hard, I know how to do it. There's a lot of people today, even in the church world, we live under good economy. When economy goes bad, there's a lot of spirit-filled people don't know what to do about money-wise. Because if they lost their job, they don't know how, they never had to believe God. They've never had it. They worked, always had a good job and things and stuff. They never knew what it was under pressure to stand. Loads of people have never done that. They haven't been under pressure. It's what you do under pressure. You're going to find out what you are under pressure. And this is where wisdom pays off, because you can be at peace under pressure. You know you're doing the right thing. You're walking in wisdom, and wisdom must pay off. And this is the way to go. You know, Wanda and I became convinced that following God and doing what God said with our money, that was the thing to do. And we didn't ever think, you know, maybe we shouldn't tithe this month. You know, maybe we shouldn't do that. That didn't enter our minds. We never even thought about that. We never thought about not giving. And if God put something on our hearts we were supposed to give to, in between there, extra money onto something, we just do it. Because why? We're just going to practice this thing. What's the good of it? If it isn't going to work in tough times, who needs it? Who needs it? It's got to work in bad times. That's when you need the assurity. That's what you need in that place that you're standing and walking and you're confident. This is the right thing. In bad times, I want to be able to smile. When everything's going good and smiling, that don't amount to nothing. Any moron or idiot can do that. It's when times are bad, can we smile? Hallelujah. Can we stay happy? You know, we look around, I look over the church world today and I know this. See, most Christians don't know a thing about Christianity. They know nothing because they're all frowning. They're all, oh, look at this bad going on all the time. And I say, they can't be happy. Glory to God, I'm happy. Hallelujah. I'm saved, going to heaven. Hallelujah. Living, walking good here. Jesus is with me. My God. Well, look at all the bad stuff going on. They ain't imprisoned you and shot you lately, have they? I'll send you to some countries they will if you'd like. Just cause you're a Christian. We in America don't even know what persecution is. And, oh, the poor persecuted American. Yeah. Whining. We don't even know what tough is yet. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And if we don't strap up in this, we may experience some of it. Oh, yeah. We need to strap up in this thing. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Well, we're going to look at today. We're going to go over to Proverbs, the 8th chapter. Last week, Eileen read from this chapter. And so we're going to go over there. The Lord had had this. I had planned on going over here. But we want to read in this chapter. This gives us some good things concerning wisdom. And it'll answer some questions for us. And it's really, we want to understand what with wisdom and what wisdom is. And here in Proverbs, the 8th chapter, which Solomon wrote, is hugely beneficial to us. Now, we're going to start at the 12th verse. We're not going to read in the beginning of the chapter. We're going to start at 12th verse. It says, I, wisdom, dwell with prudence and find out knowledge and discretion. Now, I want you to really get this in verse 13 will answer a question which is usually not answered well enough. And because it says, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Now, we always hear people say, well, the fear of the Lord is, they use the term, always reverence. Well, we find out here. So one thing as I learned, I thought about this because when I was in Bible school, and you guys have heard me talk about this, we had one instructor, who taught on how to teach. His name was Cooper Beatty. He was excellent. One of the things there's certain things that he always stuck with me that he said. And he said that when you teach, define your terms. You know, tell people when you use a certain term, what you mean by it. Because most people sit, and I find today, as most people use words all the time, that they really don't know what they mean. You know, we have these slang languages and that stuff that's talked a lot today, and people use them. And lots of times people don't even know what they're saying when they're using them. They don't even have a clue. People don't check in what they're... We just talk in America. That's what we do. We just talk. We make noises with our mouth. Usually have no clue. And people don't understand what we're saying. But one of the things that he said, told us, and I always found this, he said, allow the Bible to define its terms. Find out what the Bible means when it's saying something. Now we find out here, because Solomon says, now this is the wisdom of God. He said that fearing the Lord is to hate evil. He didn't say reverence, did he? He said it's to hate evil. And let me just say this. You need to understand this. If you don't hate evil, you'll practice evil. What you hate, literally, and what you really hate, if you really hate something, you know, if you hear people that go to eat something, they don't really like it, they'll say, I hate that. Do you catch them eating it? Mm-mm. If they really hate it, you won't catch them. Say, I hate spinach. You know, you don't see them hanging out with Popeye. You know, they ain't out there, getting the cans of spinach and squeezing them and eating them. They ain't doing that. What you hate is, number one, you as a Christian, you need to learn to hate evil. And you know, evil things and evil stuff and evil things, you need to call it by what it is and say that you hate it. If you don't get it on your mouth, you'll see, we get it on our mouth that we don't like certain things. And you know what? We say it so often, we don't like it. And it's very hard to like it and keep saying you don't like it. See, there's certain things I wanted to, years ago, that I wanted to turn around and learn to eat. I had to stop saying I don't like it. Because if you don't stop saying that, 10 to 1, you will never quit liking it because you're setting faith in motion to dislike it. There's things that the Bible tells people they should do and they should like, and yet people walk around saying they don't like it. You know, people go along, the Bible, you know, tells us we're supposed to, you know, study the Word and all this. And people say, I have a hard time studying what it is. Well, you know, you're never going as long as you run your mouth like that. As long as you keep doing that, you're setting it, you're using your faith. That's faith. That's making a confession, getting it into your heart and believing it's true, and it comes to pass in your life. I don't know, somehow faith people, they got these certain things about confession. They don't think that all the 99% that they don't say from the Bible is never going to happen. The faith people have been like little kids. They only attach it to certain things, but they don't attach it to their life, what they walk around and say. And so we need to be careful. We got to get around to where we hate evil. We don't like it. I mean, so bad, I was in a church service and a minister, and I mean, it's a large church, and you know, they have a couple different churches they got, well, they call them campuses and that stuff, but we were at a church service, and this minister got up with a message and I almost fell over. He, you know, you're not supposed to, he said this, and preached it from the pulpit, and he couldn't use the Bible to preach it, but he preached it. And he preached that, you know, he said, he's doing homosexuality. You can't hate homosexuality and love the homosexual. He said you can't. Now the Bible says you can. Now is homosexuality evil? That's right. Well, what are we supposed to do? Well, see, he was a liar. The man's a liar. And all those people listening to him and listening to that stuff, well, I'll guarantee, wouldn't surprise me, he's messing around with another man. Wouldn't surprise, because see, he's walking along saying, that ain't bad, that ain't bad, that ain't bad. I can't hate that. I can't hate that. You see, there's things we need to learn concerning things of evil that we hate. What we hate and we, now I'm talking about, you can love people. Look, God hates sin. God hates sin. God loves people. You can hate what people do. We're supposed to judge people by their fruit or by what they do. The Bible says just don't judge the person. I'm not judging a person, but we judge what an individual does, whether it's good or it's bad. At least we're supposed to. We judge things by their fruit. So you go along and we're judging, you know, we're judging fruit. Say, this isn't right, or that isn't, you know, that isn't right, or this is good. We do that. People that say they don't do that, that they don't judge, they're going to probably be in hell for being the biggest liars. I think there's going to be this huge line of people that we're going to meet, the biggest liars in the world, who said they don't judge nothing. They don't judge. You don't judge. When they judge, we all judge. We're told to by the Bible. It's what you judge and how you judge. You know, God's going to determine who gets in heaven and whatever else. Thank God that ain't my hands. My words. Aren't you? And I'm glad it's not in yours either. But what people do, we need to judge. But he says this. He says that the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Now listen to what he says. What's another thing to hate? Pride. Pride. Then it says what? Arrogance. What is the evil way? A perverse mouth. I hate. Wisdom says I hate that. Wisdom hates these things. Wisdom hates these things. So if I'm going to be wise, what am I going to do? I'm going to hate these things. I'm not going to like that. I'm not going to like these things. I must. Why? If I'm wise. And this is one thing, it's dealing with it. We don't like to, these are topics we don't like to touch in the Bible. It's the church don't take us. We're so positive. But if we don't touch these things, we got to touch these things. We got to learn. The church must preach them. People must say them, or we will practice them. And the church has become wonderful at practicing sin. The church in America loves sin. We practice, we embrace it. We take people in and their lousy acts, where the Bible says we're not even supposed to as much as eat with people that do certain things. You know, people who with bad mouths, who have a perverse mouth, Apostle Paul said you're not even supposed to as much as eat with them. If a person calls himself a Christian and they don't control their mouth, we're not even supposed to as much as eat with them. Today in the church, we'll have a special ministry and put them up front. Instead of telling them, shut your blab mouth, I ain't hanging around with you till you learn to control it. No, we don't judge none of that stuff anymore because we don't hate evil. We love evil because why? Most of the churches has a perverse mouth. We wouldn't have anybody to hang around with. Well, you might as well say amen or oh me. One of the things it is, you know, people love the truth, don't they? I'll tell you, the truth is just wonderful. Tell me the truth. No, it's please lie to me and keep me smiling. Well, you know, I mean, look, folks, I've read this thing all week before I got to you. I had to hear it. So it just bothers you today? Tough. Get over it. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. Well, these are things that need to be said. We need to bring these things back to the church. See, the church can't clean up its act if it won't deal with what it needs to clean up with. It's impossible. You know, everybody wants to go, well, I want God to move. Well, if God's going to move, is God going to be a dirty God? He's not. As God, we want, God, I want you to move. But, I just want to keep doing what I'm doing. You know, you do it. Wake me up, you know, about 9:30 tomorrow morning. You get started at 6, God, but you wake me up at 9:30 and have a lot going, you know, and that stuff. Then I'll get up, you know, and that's our Christianity. It's like God is somewhere. He's going to do all this wonderful stuff, and we're going to sleep through a lot of it and whatever. Hallelujah. Well, it goes on here to say to us, this is wisdom talking. Wisdom says, counsel is mine and sound wisdom. I am understanding. I have strength. Here's good reason why there's a lot of people today if you don't have wisdom, you don't have strength. Wisdom is strength. And I'm not talking about something of physical strength. Wisdom is strength to be able to endure, be able to do things. Having the wisdom to know what to do when problems arise, when things coming up, have the right answers and knowing what to do. That's strength. You see people all the time. I see people do this. They're in situations they don't know what to do. I have never met a person generally who has any kind of strength in a situation if they don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. Where's your strength? I always, well, hey, it'll come to me, you know. It's like with me, if problem comes up dealing with it, I've learned this. See, most people, they just go over and concentrate on that problem until it wears them out. And I just learned this. Get away from the problem. Get away from the problem. Get over here and do some. Get yourself clear. Why? Because there's a God inside that wants to talk to you. And your mind is so noisy with your little pea up there rattling back and forth and ain't got nothing in it to begin with, trying to figure out what to do. And the whole time there's wisdom inside of you that wants to speak. Folks, I know I am speaking from experience. You're not near as smart as you think you are. When I learned that, was that ever helpful? Wisdom will come to you. Give the opportunity inside. God is living in there. The wisdom on what to do will come to you if you get quiet upstairs. Wisdom does not generate from the brain. Now, the brain can be taught to practice wisdom, but it never, ever originates in the brain. Wisdom always generates from God. It first comes from God to the human spirit. Man doesn't. The world out here, the world's wisdom is based on what man and what man finds out and man does in the natural. The wisdom of God does not come from there. It does not come from that place. Wisdom from God. Even sinners, if they will listen, even on the inside, even from listen in their own spirit, just to the fact of being having a human spirit would sure help them if they listen to something on the inside rather than listening to the brain. Our brain, what we do is we start, as soon as your brain starts running, it starts generating and looking at everything around it in the natural and your past experience and blah, 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 going through all that stuff, trying to generate what to do about this situation. And you'll spend all this time thinking about going through things, wasting your time. Oh, have you ever done that? If you haven't, it's probably because you've never thought in your life. And so, that's what happens. It goes through all that stuff. It's running, trying to figure out. And I've learned over time, you know, and what I need to do is get quiet. If I get quiet, you know, I just had a thing I was trying to figure out about how to fix a certain thing. And I didn't have any ideas of my own to think about it. And I thought, you know, I just was one of those things. I said, you know, I must let this thing alone. And I went on. And about a day later, all of a sudden, it just dawned on me, simple fix on the thing. We had a guy that the church copier had a problem with it. So we had the guys come in and look at the copier. He's in there working on this thing. And he's going through this thing trying to fix a part. And so I was back and forth and I'd walk back to the office and look, see what he's doing, walking in and out through there. And he was doing it. Somehow I thought, he don't have to do all that. But I had no clue why I was thinking that. I had no clue why I was thinking. I didn't know. I was back and forth and about 15 minutes later I walked back and he was in the office and he's down and he has all this stuff out and he has the copiers turned upside down and he's doing all this stuff. And just like that, I knew what to do. And I thought, I was going to say something to him. I thought, no, just let him go. When he's gone, I'm going to fix this thing. And you know what? When he was gone, what he did didn't work right anyhow. And I fixed it for about 2 cents worth of paper and some things, and it works fine. But it did come because I stood there and thought. I just left it alone. I thought, you know, something, just listening on the inside. See, I'm so glad I don't have to be the genius. I am so glad. People just want to be the genius. People want the pat on the back. I don't get the pat on the back. I don't want the pat on the back. I want to get the job done. Most people want to be patted so badly. They just all, you know, they got to know how bright I am. I know the Holy Ghost, he's a lot brighter than me. And so you want to know the Holy Spirit. Smartest thing I ever did was learning to be led by the Spirit. Smartest thing I ever did in my life. And I didn't even think of that doing that. That came from God, is to learn how to be led by the Spirit. There's a guy named Kenneth Hagin who learned to listen to God, and he taught me what God taught him about being led by the Spirit. Hallelujah. And I learned those things, and praise God, the great benefit it brought me. Hallelujah. It says, now look at this. Now, it was talking about wisdom. Now, understand what the writer is saying here. The writer, now he says, by me kings reign. Now, there's kings who physically reign, but they don't reign by wisdom. He's talking about wisdom. If a king is truly going to reign and rule, he's going to have to do it by wisdom. See, you can get a man in power and put him in power and he can reign, do all kind of stuff. But he's no wisdom in it. He's just doing it himself. He's just on his own. But he's talking about wisdom. He says, rulers decree justice. We look today, the lack of justice. Why? We talked about this already. There is no wisdom. You're not going to ever have justice when you have heathen people following heathen ways, following the culture of America. We know our justice system follows the culture of America. And American culture today is to be unruly, to be, rebellious, and we have it in our court system. Why? Because that's America. See, we don't like to hear these things. We like to run the flag up, fly jets over, and we're Constitution and love the Constitution. We can do all that all we want, but 90% of America is an unruly bunch of heathens, and are even in the church. And I think a lot of it started from the church. Injustice. There's loads of Christians want injustice, they don't want, do something, take this guy out and kill him without a trial, because we think he did something, and we promote it. We don't even think about it. It's one thing that's always made me remarkable about God under the law. Because today, America would be better under God's law than it is under our Constitution if you'd follow it. Because they ain't following the Constitution. Our Constitution today has been thrown out and we have democracy, which is trash. It's based on what any heathens want, they get. That's our democracy. And see, people without wisdom that have a vote, we're in big trouble. And most people ain't got no wisdom and they got a right to vote. And that's trouble, folks. That is trouble. Oh man, the right to vote is such a big thing. I don't push it today anymore. It's not a big thing. There's a lot of people I don't want them to vote. Don't tell them they can. Don't tell them they can vote. I'm not saying anything. Let them find it out on their own. But see, we have all this. There's the injustice, and so people are not, aren't doing right. We have all this stuff that's happening today where people are coming along and, going on our government with the judges and stuff and their rulings. Everything is getting so outrageous and so out of hand. And all that's happening, all that's going on, it's happening in our land. It's happening here. But because when man doesn't follow wisdom, and wisdom comes from God, they can't have it. They can't have it. See, America, we have all this of how the things that we're following today, our traditions have changed. And we teach them and we train them. And much of the church world has followed these traditions. We followed them. I remember back when they started the things, when all the churches stopped with Sunday night services. I knew what was going to happen with it. I was in ministers group and I told them what's going to happen with it. I said, I knew what they were going to do. Well, we're going to not have, so families can spend more time together. And I laughed and laughed and laughed. I said, hey, no family's going to spend more. I said, if they were godly, they'd be spending some time with each other. I said, the reason they don't spend time with each other, they're ungodly. And you give them more time, they're just going to get more ungodly. And that sure proved out. And you know what I really thought was dumb? I mean, I was a young minister when they started doing this, and I had all these leaders over me. I'll tell you, I'm so fed up with the big guns, because there ain't no big guns out there. They're big dummies. Wisdom went away with them. Wisdom went away. It's gone. We need to bring wisdom back. Wisdom is what to do. Wisdom's not just something teaching. It's not just something just saying something. It's what to do. It's what to practice. And that's what wisdom is. So kings reign by wisdom. So a guy can be a king and never really reign. Because if he's not using wisdom, he ain't reigning and ruling nothing. He goes in there by me or by wisdom. It said princes rule, nobles. It says that all the judges of the earth. Now listen what wisdom says. Isn't this interesting? I love those who love me. And those, which is the ones that he loved? The ones who seek him diligently will find me. What did Jesus say about seeking, you'll find, knock, it'll be open? If you'll seek, you look up what that word seek means. It doesn't mean to just, don't mean come to a Sunday service. That ain't seeking. Seeking is to diligently look for something like it's lost. That's what it means. You're diligently looking for it. We talked about that before. If you lost the keys to your car in here in this building before you went to leave, would you say, ah, we'll get them sometime and walk out the door? But most Christians, about the word, that's exactly the way. Well, we'll do that later sometime. I'll listen to that message. I'll read that. I'll read it in the Bible sometime. I'll get that. See, they're not diligent. It's being diligently after. Now, this is the one wisdom says, wisdom loves those who love me. Well, how do I love wisdom? Well, it would be the same way. Now, just think about a relationship. How would a man or wife know that the other one loves them? By spending as much time away from each other as you can? About, you know, going and doing your own things all the time and going on, just don't spend the time together. That is love today. See, people love each other and don't have, oh, we love each other. Yeah, they do. They really love each other. See, people go through those things. Why? It's just wisdom. If you want to love wisdom, you're going to be diligently after wisdom, you know. There's one thing as a matter, you know, when I started going with Wanda, I got diligently after her. And this is why today is why, you know, with divorce and things, and why even in the church, divorce is so much. Because people get married and they don't diligently can keep going after the other person. They get along and you all get familiar with each other, and then you get more familiar with your stuff, with your things that you like to spend time with. And when you used to like to spend time with your mate, now you like to spend time doing other things. And there's nothing matter doing other things. But when they're more diligently sought after than that person, well, you got a problem. You know, you got a problem if your job is more sought after than, you know, you have to work a job. Yeah, I believe in working. I believe it. But your job couldn't be something you seek after more than you do the person you say you love. Because what you seek after the most, that's what you really love. So don't get caught lying again about what you love. Understand? See, we don't guard our mouths. We don't guard ourselves. You know, it's a lie for me to tell Wanda I love her and I'm seeking after other stuff. That's a lie out of my mouth. I wonder if the Bible is true that liars end up in a lake of fire. See, we don't even think about lying. We have our idea. We have a religious idea of lying. We need to get away from that. What am I diligently after? What do I really love? You know, I can't stand it when I say, man, I love ice cream. You know, so, what do you mean you love ice cream? You shouldn't even use that term. I didn't say, I love my wife and I love ice cream. Oh, she's going to be excited about you for sure. You wonder why you're sleeping in the other room? You belong there. Well, let's get with the program, people. The love word is thrown out there so much that it's become frivolous in the church, and so God loves everybody and everybody's going to heaven. That's the church world today. That's why ministers can't put it into their mouth in a funeral that somebody isn't going to heaven. They can't put it into their mouth. Why? Because we've used that perverted word and perverted that till it means nothing. It's a worthless word. It doesn't mean anything. You see, faith means this. Language is about everything. Language is about everything. This is why things don't work. This is why people's faith don't work. It's because our language is worthless. Words and what words mean are so important. What am I really saying? You know, I love God, man. I love ice cream. Probably ice cream more, but oh, hallelujah. Somebody do something with this man. Hallelujah. But we're supposed to seek him diligently. Listen to this. Why? Is wisdom just trying to take over your life to make your life miserable? Listen to what it says. Riches and honor are with me, enduring riches and righteousness. Now I want you, this is important, because these things deal with us right now in our nation, what's going on. Our America doesn't have enduring riches. We used to, but those days are gone. We know. See, if anybody knew anything about the Bible, they wouldn't be sitting around talking about why these things are happening. This is one thing I know. Most of the commentators today, and I don't care if the guys that are on the radio shows with the conservative commentators, I listen to them and I think, these guys don't have a clue what's going on because they don't have the wisdom either. People don't know. Right here is why. We've lost wisdom. And wisdom comes from one place. It comes from God. It doesn't come from any place else. And so there's only one way to bring wisdom. And wisdom has riches and honor are with me, enduring riches and righteousness. Do you notice enduring riches and righteousness? Sort of tied together there. See, you can't have it. See, we want to have enduring riches. This is one thing is we need to understand. See, this is why during this time, you know, we're having some people, and even Christians, are not having enduring riches. They're having really a lot of problems. And you need to understand why things are going on and happening the way they are. Wisdom works when everything else ain't working. See, people don't have wisdom. We're right around a nation with all kinds of troubles. But you know what? God has to uphold His word. If I follow wisdom, He has to bless me. And He says here that riches and honor are with me or with wisdom. Enduring riches and righteousness. Now, we know this from our scriptures in the New Testament. Righteousness is by faith. But righteousness, you need to learn how to live righteous, and wisdom will teach you to do that. Righteousness is living right, doing what's right. And doing what's right and enduring riches run together. So just giving money ain't the thing. So you got to walk in wisdom. There's wisdom. And this is one thing you want to see. No matter how bad times get, God has to honor His word. And wisdom will always be honored. Wisdom will always be honored by God, always. Wisdom is honored. Wisdom, this is the things wisdom produced. Listen to this. Listen about verse 19. My fruit is better than gold, yes, than fine gold, and my revenue than choice silver. See, the most precious thing, here we go. God just told us in verse 18 concerning, God wants to bless us and give us riches, but He tells you what's valuable. What is valuable is wisdom. And wisdom can give you silver and gold. Silver and gold are not the riches. The wisdom is. You know, the knuckleheads in our country could guys in Congress, they wouldn't have to keep stealing our tax money to become millionaires if they listened to Trump. He'd tell them how to make money. But they wouldn't listen to him. Why? He has to have wisdom on how to make money. He became a billionaire. Working. Not getting voted into the Senate. He knows how to do it. And that sure does make him mad, too. But see, you have to have wisdom. In other words, wisdom gives you the ability. It's like with Trump. Trump has gone through the things of going bankrupt and coming back and becoming a billionaire. He knows how to practice certain things and you keep doing them and they work. That's why a person who has wisdom, you can put them on the bottom of the barrel, but they'll come to the top. People will go to the bottom of the barrel and stay there. They never had no wisdom. Wisdom will bring you up. The treasure is getting the wisdom. And most people are seeking after stuff. They're seeking after things. They're trying to get, instead of getting wisdom, what they really need is the wisdom of God. And they never get that. They never really diligently seek it. They're diligently always seeking for something else. If I would just get this, or I would just get that. If I could just get a better mate, then I would have. If I could just get a better this. If I could just do. If I could have a better car. No, you need wisdom. When people start doing this, one thing is I know they don't have wisdom. When I listen to their mouth running, they ain't got wisdom. If you get wisdom, you'll go to the top. That's why in the Great Depression, Great Depression days, up until not many years ago, there was more millionaires made during the Depression than there was during any time in American history. And those were days when millionaires, when $1 million was worth a lot of money. It's the day, you know what $1 million is worth? Do you ever think, you know, in the United States, the average house sold in the United States is almost $400,000, over $400,000? Did you know that? The average house. So what's $1 million? It ain't worth nothing. You can buy two houses. Oh boy, ain't that exciting. Wisdom don't have to run around, look at the value of that stuff. Wisdom knows how to be able to work to get what it needs to do and carry it out. It's the wisdom. The treasure's the wisdom. The treasure is the wisdom, is getting wisdom. If people would have sought for wisdom, our land became great, America became great because of the wisdom, not because of money. The men who founded this country, when they signed the Declaration of Independence, those men all put their life on the line when they signed that thing. There was a death warrant on every one of them. Does that sound like wisdom today? No, today you people with the Christians would never do that if Jesus asked them to sign it. They'd never do it. I could lose everything. And what if I died? Yeah, we'd all be better off. People thinking like that, their life's not valuable. The value of those men's lives was the fact of the wisdom that they had. And America became great off the back of men's wisdom, men and women who had wisdom that knew what to do to make things a success. And today they're hated. Today, even the Christians want the money of anybody that becomes rich. Well, they ought to tax them more, and they ought to do this more, and they ought to do that more. Why? Because they're so stupid, and I'm just going to be right down blunt about it. They're so stupid, they ain't got no wisdom. The only reason if they have a good job, they got it because, you know, somehow or other, they got blessed and got in the right place at the right time. There's a lot of people in America, and a lot of Christians are blessed just because they live in America, because they live under an economy that takes care of them. And if they had to, and if you took them today and stuck them in a country that didn't have that, they'd be the first dead person. They know nothing about faith. We talk about faith in God, and most people don't know a thing about it. They don't know anything about the thing. We're blessed a lot. It's like anything that's big, you know? Any company that's big can make mistakes for many years before the doors start closing. Because why? They're just so large and they got so much going, it can just keep going. And people think, oh, well, you know, they're big and they're doing good, when they ain't doing good at all. Most people have no wisdom to know when something's working and when it's not. You know, we found out, like General Motors. Was General Motors some big, great company? No. Soon as some problems came along, we had to take our tax money and bail them out, and they didn't pay it back. $50 billion. They're building cars and they want to sell me a car. I won't buy their cars. They owe me a car. I'm sick of their nonsense. $50 billion, and they're over in China, hooked up over there with our enemies, turning out, knocking out cars like crazy, turn around, sell them to us, and won't pay their debt of $50 billion. And the leaders of that company can go to bed at night. You think, I'll tell you, there's a day coming. Justice is coming, folks. See, you can't do those kind of things and keep a nation great. You can't do those things. You can't do that stuff. Everybody sat around and got mad because they gave the banks money. Do you know those banks all paid their money back? And most of them paid it back within months. Within months. Paid those loans off. And everybody's yelling about giving the banks money. Well, we gave companies money, didn't pay it back. Some companies took the money and went bankrupt anyhow. What are we doing putting money in bankrupt companies, you know? It's like, give me a break. We took some of the stock of General Motors Company. We held it for the loan. And then turned around and stole the stocks off when the stocks were still way down low. We didn't wait and hold them. Why didn't we hold them for some years? The company's going to get going back up and get them their worth money and sell it off and give the taxpayers some money. Not congressmen, not senators. Those morons, they don't care, it ain't their money. They're the ones telling us how much Social Security has this. There is no Social Security trust fund. The biggest lie, there is no Social Security trust fund. Every bit of money that goes into Social Security is already lended out to other areas of government. This is a Social Security trust fund. It's an IOU that will never be paid. And it won't. They can't pay it. And I talk about our congressmen, we vote guys in and they call themselves Christians and use that term. I'll tell you what, I can't wait to see what happens when they stand before Jesus. He's probably going to ask them about, hey, tell me about that thing called a trust fund you kept blabbing out back here. There is no such thing as a Social Security trust fund. That's like, you can't, now let's just think about this. If I go to a bank and withdraw all the money out of my account, you know what happens to the account? It closes. There's no money in the Social Security Trust Fund. It's closed. No bank would hold it. The only people who would keep it open is Congress. That's the only group. They're the only insane people to do that. Folks, we're talking about wisdom. But see, what I'm trying to get a point to you, can you see why we're in a mess? There is no wisdom. You can't leave God and have wisdom. Follow up and check this sometimes. Sit down. When Israel got out of hand and wasn't following God and things went right and stuff, it wasn't till they came and repented till things turned. Till they came back to follow what to do. Mike read this morning from Malachi. Now I could take you over to Malachi. Malachi is dealing with wisdom. Why did God see? What is the wisdom of me putting the money where God says to do, like into tithe? You need to understand. See, God had set up a system for Israel to be blessed. God established and set out his law. Now, in his law, God put down that Israel should do something. One of the things Israel had to do was tithe. Tithe wasn't about God getting Israel's money. It was about God blessing Israel. And what did God want to do to bless Israel? His number one is this. God wanted Israel to worship him. The tithe is about worship. It's not today, but the tithe is about worship. The tithe was about paying the guys who do the ministry. Malachi is about this. And they teach Malachi, they don't teach that. Hardly anybody ever teaches the purpose of Malachi. Almost all they do is, let's talk about the money thing. What was the purpose in the tithe? And the tithe was not all money. The tithe, they would bring their grain and their sheep and all these things. Why? It was about worship to God. See, sheep were used in sacrifice. Cattle were used in sacrifice. It was so the sacrifice. God required Israel, for Israel to stay clean before God, they had to practice the worship that God called them to. And every day there had to be a morning and an evening sacrifice. A morning and evening sacrifice. Go back, you follow the pattern of it. We look at Elijah on Mount Carmel. When he had to, he turned around and told the heathens, you guys go ahead and worship. You guys do your thing and do it. And then I'll do mine. You do yours. And they went to it. And then he waited till evening. And it says at the time of the evening sacrifice, that's when he offered his bull. Why? Because that's what would take place in the temple. God required when the sacrifice, it's just like, God didn't ask you what you think about worshiping him. God has already told you in his word what he wants out of you in worship, what he wants from you. We don't figure out, today the church mostly does what that pleases them, what makes me feel good. I want to do this for God, or I want to do that. Number one, only thing I want to do for God, I want to do what he tells me to do, because I want to know what he wants, what he desires, and I want to bless him with that. Why? Because I know this. That's wisdom. Because if I give him what he wants, I can get anything I want. This is why Christians can't get anything, because they're selfish, self-arrogant, arrogance, and full of pride. They're worshiping God in their own manner. Now, let's go back over to Malachi. Malachi was about this. When the Israel quit tithing, and when they quit tithing, the priests weren't getting any money to live and didn't have nothing to live. And so the priests had to leave the temple, and worship ain't going on anymore. They're not offering the sacrifices. They're not carrying out. The showbread ain't going like every day like it's supposed to. The candles aren't staying lit inside like God said it was supposed to be. All of that stops. Why? Because they got to all go to work. Don't you ever listen to those knuckleheads say, you know, ministers ought to get a job like everybody else. First thing you do, go slap them upside the head as hard as you can and tell them to get saved. That's what Israel did, and look at the mess Israel ended in. They didn't care about God's plan of worship. They had their own plan of worship. And God had established that those sacrifices every day, the shedding of those blood, those sacrifices, God said they were a sweet-smelling savor to Him. They wouldn't be to you. Did you ever smell flesh burning? Go to a barn fire sometime and smell the cows when they're burning. There ain't nothing sweet-smelling savor about that at all. But God said it wasn't. And if He likes it, you better get liking it. Much of the church world today likes what it likes and don't like what God likes. And that's why He said, you bring it into the storehouse. He can't bless you till you get worship started in that place He called for it. See, He called for it at that time in that place. That was the place that worship would take forth. That's when Israel got hauled off, any Jew that got hauled off into a different land, God said, if you go back and look at when the temple was open, if you will turn and pray toward Jerusalem, you turn, when you pray toward that temple. Why? That's the place of worship. That was the established place of worship. See, God desires today and tells us in the New Testament of worship. The church doesn't follow that pattern. The church is interested in whatever pleases us and makes us feel good. Whatever. We don't chase after God. We have a God today that's supposed to chase after us. And find out what we like and what we want. And so if I want it, then, you know, and it really seems nice. It's like a minister one time, and it was when Kenneth Hagin in 1987 had like a 2.5 hour vision. The Lord talked to him about it, and the Lord talked to him about clapping in a church. He says, when people turn around and says, give the Lord a clap offering. And the Lord spoke to him about that. And he said, you know, you treat me like a man. He said, I'm not a man. See, he said, the Bible says you raise holy hands. That's what the Bible says. And they give a clap offering. So this one minister said to me one time, he didn't like Kenneth Hagin's thing, you know. He said to me, well, you know, I want to give God a clap offering. He said, that's what I want to give Him. And I said, you want to give Him a clap offering? I said, God never asked you to. I said, God tells you what He wants, but you ain't interested. You want to give Him what you want. I said, in other words, you're going to worship God on your terms. In other words, you have your God that you've developed to worship. And God better like what I'm going to do. See, that there's what he don't, you know what? That man didn't hate evil, and he liked pride and arrogance. He's full of pride. I'm going to do it my way. He's arrogant. Arrogant toward God. It doesn't matter what God's want. This is what I want to give you. This is what I want to do. I mean, aren't we foolish? We got a book tells us what to do, and we want to always. Man always wants to invent a God in their own image and our own likeness. And we swear that we don't worship gods today, that we don't have idols. And people all the time are developing a. We developed a Christianity in America that is widespread, that is in man's image and in man's likeness. We've turned Jesus. He's not Lord and God anymore. He doesn't rule it anymore. He's Santa Claus. He's there to take care of me and do whatever I want because I put money in a plate. He's supposed to jump and just be so excited about it. And all this. And what we don't realize, we don't even have the right attitudes about giving it lots of times and that kind of stuff. There are things that I have to work on all the time about myself. Why am I doing what I do? Why do I do it? Am I just going through my religious routine thinking, you know, and I'm just doing this? So you know what? I need some more money, so I'm gonna give some extra money because I need more money. What about when you don't need more money? Ever listen to God about what you're supposed to give then? You see, we got it tied to this. I'm gonna do it when I need something. When I need something, I'm gonna give an extra offering. I'm gonna tell you, don't be surprised if nothing shows up. Because that's pride. That's arrogance. This is how they, God, you know, I'm going to do this. We're not doing it for God. We're doing things for, learn to do what God wants and you'll be blessed. Wisdom tells us distinctly. If we love it and we seek after it, it wants to bless us. It wants to do something. So we're not working at, you're not working at getting blessed. You don't work at that. That's not what you work at. You don't work at getting blessed. If you have wisdom and you follow wisdom, you will be blessed. You know, there's one thing the Lord taught me about from the military. I'll go back there again. From the military experience, I found this. When I followed their wisdom that they taught us in combat, I got blessed. In other words, I stayed alive, kept breathing. You wonder how many men die because they don't follow wisdom? And they'll say, well, they died in combat. Many die because they're stupid. They don't follow things that they teach you. Just like today in our society, aren't people dying all the time because they're stupid? Well, it's no difference in any other place. It's all the same. But there's wisdom talk. What do? We put wisdom out there. You know, it's like Charles Capp said, isn't it amazing the devil can't kill as many, near as many people since they put seatbelts in cars? See, there's a wisdom to put it on. People say, well, I'm just going to believe God. You know, you can't go override it. They say your leaders tell you to do it. You best get doing it, because if you ain't doing it, you're disobeying God. They ain't having you do that to be mean. They ain't taking your worship away from you, God. They ain't keeping you out of church. You have no business not doing it. I don't care. Well, I'm uncomfortable. I'm uncomfortable with your sin. That's what I'm uncomfortable with. Whether you like to hear these things or not, best get hearing them. We can't have a rebellious bunch of people and then expect the move of God, and the church is full of rebellious people fighting and fussing all the time over things. I'm believing God. No, you ain't. Things we don't like, we have our ideas and we want to do stuff. It isn't a matter. You know, let me just say this, doing a sermon. You know, I'm not crazy about masks, but I'm not going in somebody else's business and causing trouble. And don't let me ever hear any of you do it. I will tell you from this pulpit publicly straight to your face. It's somebody else's business. It ain't yours. Stay out of it. Don't go if you want to cause trouble. Don't go. If you don't like what Walmart does, then don't go to Walmart. Don't go there. You have that right. But they have that right. They own that business. You don't. If you want them to be able to do that, then they need to be able to come to your house and do what they want. And you ain't going to allow that. Why? Because of your arrogance. It's always a one-sided. That's America. The one-sided selfishness. And we got to knock this stuff off. The Holy Ghost is talking. Because He's watching. We're asking for what we can't get because of what we won't do. God is judging our motives. And let me say this. He thinks they stink. The American church's motives stink. We're doing too much on it just for our own good or what we want. And we're just doing follow things. We shouldn't be the fuss and fight. I appreciate the pastor in California. He got the ruling, and I appreciate the man's humility. He said, you know what? We don't want to come back just have church. We're going to follow what the rules are that they set up. We have no intention. We're not going to be rebellious. We're not going to do those things. We're going to follow. That's what he said. I thought, man, there's a guy God like. He'll bless that man. He said, we're not out to try to do rebel. We're not out to do that. It's not what we're trying to do. We just want to get together and have church. That's what we want to do. Now others are going to take it and take it all out of them. And they're just going to do the thing. And you know what? Just become just as rebellious, and they'll wonder why things don't work out. I just appreciate him. You know, he's a godly man. And he ain't spirit-filled. I wish I could hear some good stuff out of some of these spirit-filled guys. I really wish I could. I just appreciate him. A man's got wisdom. And I'm so glad to see that somebody has wisdom. Because wisdom is needed in the church today. We need a move of God in America, because no wisdom will come to a God, to America, till there's a call out of repentance that we haven't been walking in wisdom, that we've been following our own ways. There needs to be a repentance in America. We're asking God to fix the government. God would like to fix the church, because the government will never get fixed if the church don't get fixed. I don't pray for God to fix the government. I'm waiting. I'll tell you what, I want God to fix the church. God needs to fix the church. The church needs to become the church again. We need to become a separate people, a separated from the world, where there's a distinction of lifestyle. There is a distinction of action and acting. There's a complete distinction. Where they look and they say, they're not like us. But too many Christians want to be loved by the world because they love the world. And they want to be loved by the world. That's what all the seeker friendly became about. That's all that stuff come from. People love to be loved by the world. They want to be loved by the world and the world like them. And I just got to have them all. I don't want to receive any persecution. I learned from Kenneth Hagin. I thank God I got it early when the Bible says you got to live godly in Christ Jesus. You're going to suffer persecution. And I remember the first time I heard him say it. Now this is the first time I heard him say it was 1980. And he said, if you don't live godly, he said, if you're not being persecuted, it's because you don't live godly. Well, you ain't going to hear that preached today. Well, you heard it here. I'm going to tell you what. You can't live in a heathen nation. If you live godly today, you're going to be persecuted. And godly may just not, you just don't go along with the crowd and what they're doing and that stuff, and you'll get persecuted. But we have the whole thing to be liked. I'm going to tell you what. God can, I want you to understand this. The Lord spoke to me about some of these things. And he said to me, he said, there is no way that I can reach the world as long as the church keeps wanting to be liked by the world. He said, they don't want to suffer persecution. He said, when they don't like you, he said, because you live right. He said, because what it's doing to them, you know what it does to them? You know why they don't like it and they start carrying on? Because their hearts condemned them by what they're doing. And that's the job of the Holy Ghost. You know what the job of the Holy Ghost is for the world? Convict the world of sin. Well, he can't do that. You know how he does it? Through believers. Well, when believers are acting and living and talking like the world, the Holy Ghost can convict nobody. You can tell them Jesus loves you all I want. What they want, what is the Holy Ghost, you need the Holy Ghost to bring people to Christ. You don't bring them to Christ. The Holy Ghost does. And he's going to convict them of sin. He's going to make them feel uncomfortable. And we keep trying to have this comfortable witnessing. I can teach you how to witness to people without offending anybody. Well, you ain't going to be preaching the Bible, I'll tell you that. That's for sure. You're not going to get them saved. You may get them to convert to a religion and they end up in hell. Most people will get offended by the gospel. Most people will. And today, years ago, people wouldn't have acted out so much, but today they just act out, right out, straight out. Because that's our society. But we're afraid of that. We're trying to be nice, seeker friendly. He says, "See, no, you know what? You know how many sinners are seeking God? None. No one comes to the Son except the Father draw them. Did you ever hear that in the Bible? Well, they don't know that today. The church has no idea that that was ever written. Church don't draw people to God. God draws people to Jesus." Oh, we thought having services like they liked them would get them. You know, that would do it. Let's have the 15, 20 minute service. Let's get that thing going here because they'll love that. Yeah, they can come and play religious and go out. And the church people love it the most because they didn't like it in church to begin with. The Christians are the ones that wanted to get out the fastest. I say run over every sinner getting out the door. Have tracks on their backs from the Christians running them down. How can I spend less time with God and Him still give me everything I want? How can I like Him least? Folks, you got to understand this. I hear this stuff all week. God talks to me about things. And I think, he ain't telling me because I'm Mr. Wonderful. But see, well, you know, God, I know what it's about. He wants me to judge my motives, why I'm doing things. And let's say motives are a thing, folks. People don't understand. Motives is huge. The motives. And people do things that seem nice, but their motives are all wrong while they're doing it. It's having that simplicity within yourself. I'm doing the will of God. God has already blessed me with every spiritual blessing. And I'm doing the will of God. Following God's wisdom, I got to be blessed. I can't be on our way. See, walk around talking that. Well, you don't have to talk about the money and that stuff all the time. God is, Lord, I need such and such, and I just want to thank you. Wisdom brings that to me. Wisdom does. I'm doing what the Word of God says. I give and it's given unto me. Wisdom must give it to me. It has to, or wisdom's the biggest liar there ever was. You know, we make this big deal out of 497 confessions about it and doing all this stuff and taking the simplicity of faith that a child would do. I remember Juan and I teaching our girls about using their faith. And I'll never forget the first big thing that came along. They wanted these Barbies, you know. And these are back in the days when us, and I'm going to tell you what, I mean, to buy a Barbie and its stuff back then, I mean, that was like huge money. I mean, today it wouldn't be known thing at all. But it was huge for us back then. We're starting off in this, and they want these things. And we teach them about faith, and we tell our daughters. Now, they just, you know what, they watched us, and they watched how God did things for us. And, you know, they never for any second ever thought any big deal about this. They were just so innocent and so stupid, they just thought God would do it. And you know what? They didn't confess every night before they went to bed that God was going to bring them a Barbie. We prayed for it and agreed. We just said, okay, you guys. So they agreed. They prayed and we agreed with them that they were going to get these Barbies. We agreed with them. This was going to happen. And you know what? We acted like faith. We acted like it actually worked. And these kids act like it was going to work. And God sent a big box of Barbies. I don't know how many Barbies was in that box. But all these Barbies and about 400 outfits and a Barbie car and a Barbie house and a and this big box shows up. And you know what? It's just the simplicity of their faith. But they learned that over time, and we watched our girls who believed God for things. We watch them believe God for cars and get them. Now, people today, let's run right out and buy our kid a car and everything. Teach your kid how to use their faith. Quit being God in their life. This is why kids don't follow God, because their parents want to be God, and their parents teach the kids to worship them for what they want. Obey me to get what you want. No, obey God, and God will take care of you. We taught our kids, you know, we always told our kids, your daddy ain't going to be around one day. I'll be gone. And you need to know how to believe God, get stuff. You need to know how to believe God, make this thing work. This is what happens. Parents die and Christians go to, and kids go to hell because they don't ever follow God again because God died. We buried God. Now we're on our own. You teach them how to believe God. You teach them what to do. They learn to believe God and their faith works. I wish I could have learned about it when I was their age. Oh, my words, if I'd have learned this faith stuff when I was their age. They did things at such ease that we worked at to try to get to. And they just did it. Well, Mom and Dad do it. Well, let's just do it. And see, I saw that when I was in a church and we were in a youth ministry. Once those kids in that youth ministry saw that this faith thing worked, God said, when you go to believe something, you and Wanda, you tell them what you're believing for and what you're doing and what you're standing on. You let them know what you're hitting. And you tell them. And so we would do that. And then the thing, whatever it is, would come to pass. It would happen. And then we'd tell the kids. He'd say, then you tell them about it. Once those kids found out this thing worked, my God. And I'm serious. They probably in a number of months were ahead of almost every adult in the church in the use of their faith. When they found out that worked, I'll never forget, you know, we wanted to go to, we're going to have a retreat, so we need money. So we needed a couple $1,000 and we had $500 in our account. Never get $500 in account. And so, and this is what I learned to do. The Lord directed me in this, to learn to let them, what we're going to do with the money. Bond and I didn't control the money. We'd let the adults control it. We'd have never, ever went on a retreat. You'd never been able to get them to believe for one. But they had $500 in the account, and we asked the kids, what do you think we ought to do? And they said, well, we need, it was a little over $2,000 we need. And they said, $500 ain't going to get us. So what do we need to do? They said, well, we need to give God the money. And it's the kids. I didn't tell them what to do. They said, we need to give that money away. Now they had $500. You know what they did? Now the adults would have never done, the pastor of the church would have never ever let that enter his mind. He would have said, that's the devil that thought would have came. Now, I'm not just knocking. That's just the way the world is. I know. I've worked on it. And those kids said, there's a girl going on a missionary trip. Let's give it to her. I said, good. Well, hey, we're putting this thing out. You know, God started this thing. I'm going to let him run it. I'm not going to get in the middle of it and start giving my wisdom. You've done that already. You've messed enough stuff up, haven't you? And those kids gave that money away. And you know what? We never did worry about that money at all. But we come time to go. And you know, when we turned around and had we had our retreat and everything, when we were done, we had $500 left in our account. It was just all the money. And you know what? We never once asked anybody in the church, and we told the kids, you don't say nothing to your parents. And see, when we had a retreat, we didn't do it like other churches do. You know, kids had to pay so much. We go, everybody goes. I don't care if everybody can afford it. It doesn't matter. It don't matter. Everybody goes. Everybody goes. I was always around these churches, and they're always, you know, everybody, you know, raise money, hold it. Let's knock this stuff off. Let's believe God for what we need for the whole thing. That's what you do. Everybody's in it. Not just somebody or who can afford what or whatever doing this and that. Everybody, the kids go, this ain't about the parents, it's about the kids. And we didn't tell anybody anything. And you know what? People started giving the youth group money. Now I want to tell you, this is the one they had to, and I'll just be honest, the pastor wouldn't. The pastor wanted to have a youth group, but you don't give the youth group any money. Dumbest thing. But I never, you know what? He was in charge. He can do what he wants. I know how to believe God. I know how to believe God. And we obey God and you follow God. You walk in wisdom, it works. See, most people say, well, we can't do this because the pastor won't this and that. See, you get over and I think, no, what you're doing is you just limiting your faith. You just said, my faith don't work. His has to take care of that. We never even thought 2 seconds about that. I never said anything to the pastor about it. I thought, if I have to go around, I ain't going to. Number one, Ed won't beg you for money. I will not beg for money. I'd close this thing down before I'd ever beg for money. I'd shut the door and burn the building. You know, I just, I ain't begging nobody for money. You don't do none of that. You don't do that. I don't have to. Wisdom will always take care of you. God has to take care. If I follow the wisdom of God and he doesn't do his part, I'll do it. Anything he tells me to do, I'll do. But he don't do his part, I ain't doing mine either. We had that agreement a long time ago. We made that agreement back in 1983. He called me to do some things and I told him, I said, I'll do anything you want me to do. But I said, if you don't take care of my family, I said, I can't do what all you want me to do and take care of everything with my family. And I said, if you don't take care of my family, I said, I ain't got time to do what you want. Those days I was working and ministering and doing all kinds. And I just told him, you want me to do these things? And you know what? He has been 100% faithful with that ever since that time. And you know, that was the best faith thing I ever did in my life, was let God have my family. Trust God with my family. That would be a new venture in the American church. Trust God with the family. I learned to do that. God is going to have to take care of things. Most people, they're trying to take care of it all. They're trying to wear everything out. They're trying to do anything. I didn't. I never once used for ministry what was for the family. I didn't take all the money from the family and go use it and then the family neglect it. Never did that kind of stuff. God would tell me to do something, I always required him to provide the money for it. If God told me to go on a mission trip somewhere, if he didn't provide the money, I wasn't going to spend mine doing it. I'm working for somebody and everybody cares. He owns a cattle on 1,000 hills. Then he ought to send a cow over sometime, wouldn't you think? Oh, he has a cattle on 1,000 hills. You know what? And I'm stuck with my 2 heifers. That's Christianity today. Then I got to get over here with mine and try to run this thing and make this thing work and trying to labor at it. And he's so rich and he won't give up nothing. Sounds like a politician. Look, folks, God is good and he will keep his word. We got to come back to that simplicity. We had that in the 1980s and that's gone. And as God didn't take none of it away, we gave it up. We gave it up to follow the American culture. We gave it up to follow something else. We gave up truth for a lie instead of following wisdom. I'm calling you to wisdom today. Amen? Wisdom. A wise God. Let's stand to our feet. Hallelujah. The wise God. And that's what we have today. A wise God. Whatever you need, He's on your side. You've been seeking after wisdom. You've been seeking after God. You've been looking for God. And you've been after it. You still believe the truth? Well, then you're a qualifier. You qualify. Wisdom will take care of you. If you've been practicing wisdom, none of us know everything. None of us are perfect at all of it. God never asked us to be perfect. But our motives and intents have to be right. That's the biggie. It doesn't matter you know everything, but you keep your motives pure and stuff that you do and just keep walking. But following the wisdom of God. See, here with us, we believe many things are true that a lot of people don't believe is true. And a lot of people in the church world don't believe is true. I really have a hard time watching TV Christianity. I mean, because the things, they have some things are good, but I mean, it's like sitting down, like Brother Hagin said, I have to be as smart as an old cow, eat the hay and leave the sticks. Man, sometimes it gets to be a lot of sticks. You got to be watching what you hear all the time. People making half-truth statements about stuff that ain't right, that are very, can really hurt you as a Christian to believe and to take. And you need to be careful. And that's why you need to study for the word yourself. It's like God told Joshua. His success was his day and night of meditating in the law of Moses to find it. Why? He needed the wisdom of that. That was God's wisdom at the time of what to do for him to succeed. That's what it was for. So he could be a success. Well, did Joshua end up a success? Well, see, the wisdom of God did that. He said, look, you hang over here with that. It'll do this for you. Look, it changes not. It is not different. I want you to understand this. When the apostles first went out to preach, they were preaching Jesus, and they were preaching Jesus from the Old Covenant. They were preaching a lot of things from the Old Covenant. Did people get blessed who paid attention to it, who followed it? Yeah. See, the Word of God works. The wisdom of God works. You know, God's wisdom from the Old Covenant to the New Covenant hasn't changed. I mean, Solomon, we're sitting here today reading Solomon's wisdom. To me, it's like reading a newspaper today. And except the whole thing is I see the wisdom of God in the pages in the Bible, and then I look over, it's like looking at the newspaper and seeing all the idiot stuff on the other side, the exact opposite of it. And we're looking at that. We're looking today. You're looking at the exact opposite. Don't get frustrated by what they're doing. You follow wisdom. If you don't get blessed, nothing changes. Nothing changes. We can spend our time and our focus on their stupidity and then turn around and what's our meditation? See, we're meditating on what's going wrong. Meditate on, it doesn't matter. I can't change them. I can't make them take my wisdom. But if I can live my wisdom in front of people, if I can live my wisdom day to day, and I'll walk in my wisdom, they will get to see wisdom. Wisdom will call out in the street right in their face. But wisdom can't crawl out in the street in their face when the church lives like they do. All they see is the same thing they are. They don't see that wisdom. Are they going to stop and say, well, how come you're doing so good? You know? When you're doing it like they are and you're standing there and whining to them just like you've been whining to everybody else, you think they're going to be asking you, how are you doing so good? They know you're in the same shape they're in. They have no hope either. Wisdom gives hope. Hallelujah. I know the wisdom of God will work. I'm assured it will work. Hallelujah. If something don't work, then Ed better change his wisdom, because it's never God. It's never God. I would need to change. Hallelujah. And we can walk in the wisdom of God. I tell you, there's a lot to this day and time. There needs to become a separation. I looked over the years at the things that God has had me prophesy and others have prophesied concerning the world, seeing the difference between the church and the world. Seeing the difference between the church and the world. Right now, there is nothing to see. See, what we want to do, God use me for a miracle. Yeah, but they see somebody that's just like they are used for a miracle, they're going to sit down and think they ought to be used for the miracle too, because you ain't no different than they are. And then we preach and go tell people, look, I'm just like you are. I don't ever tell nobody that. I look at a sinner and I tell them, I ain't like you are. Hallelujah. I'm a child of God, born again. Hallelujah. I pass from death unto life. I'm a new creation. Well, I ain't like you. I'm going to heaven, you're going to hell. No, not us. I put on my pants just like you do. Well, you probably do today. You put them over your head. And then they don't even pull them up the whole way. So you know, I don't put my pants on like you do. I'm not like the world. I even wear them. They'll walk around and won't even wear the things. Don't talk dumb. See, you're living in a different world using slang and talk. We need to understand. We need to become a different people. Look, we're not segregationists, but we are separationists. We're separated from the sin of the world. We do not live it. We don't walk it. We should not be talking like they talk, doing what they do. We don't do that. We're a different lifestyle. We're a different. They should see us in this day and time. The church ought to be at peace and joy and rest. We ought to have confidence in our God. When somebody comes along and says to you about the problems in there, but God, just you want to get them quiet and it'll help them. Just tell them, God's going to take care of everything with us. We're going to be fine. We're going to be fine. And then watch them stutter a while, you know. Because, see, but we don't. We go, well, yeah, you know, listen to them whine and say something and all this and that and the other thing. And then we try to give them a good answer under the world's conditions of what maybe they can do is write your senator or something. Or Hallelujah! Let's just walk and do right. Let's become that separate people that they can look at. People want to see somebody. They want to see hope. You can't look at... I never looked at a hopeless-looking person and never thought of hope. It never happens. It never happens. Hallelujah. Father, I just want to thank you today. Glory to God. You're God, we're not. Hallelujah. I'm so glad you're such a wonderful and great God. I'm just so that, Lord God, you laid a plan down that was before the foundation of the world. And this plan is so sublime and it's so great. It's so wonderful. Lord God, Lord, the plan is imperfection that you laid down to save mankind. Hallelujah. And do it so simply and so dramatically, Lord God, that you work through your Son, Jesus Christ, to redeem man from sin. And Lord God, you look down through the age, totally undisturbed or discouraged. Look down through, and you saw man. And Lord God, Lord, as we're going to go on when we teach in these areas, Lord God, you looked down through at man, and you were delighted in him. You looked down at man, and you didn't see him in the future in his condition. You saw him in the salvation you supplied for him. And you, Lord God, your hope has carried through the future. And Lord God, you so diligently laid before man the truth that we could follow. You laid it down, your wisdom. You didn't hold anything back, but you gave it all and laid it out there for us to have and to walk in. But I do ask you this, Lord God, please forgive us. Lord, because many times we didn't always walk in all the wonderful wisdom that you gave. Lord God, Lord, the Church of Jesus Christ, Lord God, and I know in the nation that I live in, and I know in the world there's things going on in other nations, but Lord God, in our world, right here, Lord God, the Church of Jesus Christ has missed it big time with you. Lord God, we haven't walked, we haven't followed you. We use the name God. But our actions have not made you a God. Our actions have made you little. It's turned you into a man. It's made you weak. It's made you frail in our eyes. Lord God, forgive us for doing any such things like that. Lord God, it is not your fault because your word hasn't changed. And your Holy Spirit in us has continually spoken to us and said to us and told us the truth. And Lord God, there's many, Lord God, who have walked against that truth. But Lord God, we stand here today. I thank you for eyes to see, ears to hear and understand. I thank you, Lord God, for the ability to comprehend. Thank you for not shutting your voice down with us, but Lord God, that you're still speaking to us. Lord God, I appreciate it. Lord God, I want to hear what you have to say more than anything. I want to know what you're saying to us. And thank you, Lord God, because you had every right to quit, but you did not. You had every right, but you still in your long suffering and your great mercy, you have continually reached your hand out and you continually, Lord God, we have stumbled, but you've picked us up. We, Lord God, so many things, but you have not stopped. And Lord God, you've continued to teach us. You continue, Lord God, to engage with us. And I thank you for talking to us bluntly and just speaking speaking clearly to us, Lord God. You speak to us, Lord God, as one on your level. And I appreciate it so much. Hallelujah. Oh, Lord God, I want to thank you. And I want to thank you because you've allowed us to speak to you on that level also. And I thank you, Lord God, we can ask you anything. We can inquire of you of anything, Lord God. And your wisdom will come to us freely in the name of Jesus. And I thank you today, Father God. Father, I thank you these words that were ministered and preached today, Lord God. I thank you they're strengthening the church. They're emboldening the believers, Lord God. I thank you that their faith is rising up stronger and stronger and stronger, Lord God. Lord God, that they're going forth in the might of the Spirit, full of the wisdom of God. I thank you, Lord God, when people ask them questions, they will have the answers of heaven to breathe to that individual and to speak to them and into their lives, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. I thank you, Lord God, that their voice will begin to be your voice, hallelujah. And Lord God, your anointing will be upon them, Lord God. Lord, your blessing in their life. And in this day and time, Lord God, I thank you for blessing them. Lord God, enriching them, Lord God, with wisdom. And Lord God, I know with the enrichment of wisdom, and doing wisdom, you will enrich them, Lord God, with silver and gold, Lord God. You will enrich them with blessings in their life. Lord God, as Abraham, full of blessing, Lord God, that he blessed others and became the blessing to the nations. Lord God, we don't want to be a blessing just here. We want to be a blessing to the nations. We want to be a blessing to others and an overflow to others in the name of Jesus Christ. And we will be in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So we thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God. You're gracious, kind, and loving. You deserve to be glorified, magnified, and praised in the wonderful, glorious name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. What a good God. What a glorious God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord God. Praise you, Lord God. Praise you, Lord God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The Spirit of the Lord is saying this. Ask, ask, ask. For there's many times you have thought about certain things. You have thought and you have wondered. Some things you have left as trivia, but it is not trivia to me because you belong to me. And you wanted to know, and I say to you, ask. And you ask, and I will speak to you. For wisdom is not had for just some great plan and some great work, but wisdom is had for in the simple and the little things of life that bring comfort to you and peace of mind. And so I want you to ask me what you need to do, and I will show you, and I will reveal to you through my word, and you will understand and comprehend, and your life will be full of more joy, and you will be more gracious and kind because you will see my great mercy and love for the little things in your life. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. And the Spirit's saying this, for some of you things have not worked out in some areas the way that you would have liked. Hallelujah. And you wonder whether did I do wrong or should I have done something differently? And the Lord says this, worry not or fret not about those things. Keep seeking after me and I'll give you wisdom. And what has happened and you seem, well, maybe that's gone. It will not be gone. I can restore and bring back those things. I can set things in order again, says the Lord, for I'm God. I am God and seek me as God. And I will do for you as you desire because I love you and I want to do those things for you. So pick yourself up and walk again. And don't lay those things down of the past that you thought were over, for they shall not be over, for I will fulfill them in this day and time. Hallelujah. 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 Now I can just say this to you. I know there was one specifically that was two. I don't know what it's about. You'll have to have God. See, that's where you need to be led by the Spirit. Sometimes God has me say things, but I say things in general, but sometimes they're specific for certain folks. And maybe, and I mean, when God has me say it publicly, you need to know that these things can work for anybody. Mm-hmm. He wouldn't have me saying it publicly if it don't. Hallelujah. But there's ones you just need to hear. We let things go and think, well, it's over. And you know, it ain't over till God says it's over. Hallelujah. If God tells you it's over, then it is. Glory to God. But I think there's a lot we thought was over that's not. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God.